Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
There's a podcast called Legal Face-Off. It's co-hosted by Rich Lenkoff, and he's in our studio. Hi, Rich. How are you?
I'm good, John. How are you?
You're a big-time attorney in town, if I'm not mistaken.
Something like that.
Where do you practice when you're not doing Legal Face-Off or watching Big Ten basketball at the United Center?
Yes, just came from there. Just a big victory by Michigan State. I practice at Bryce Downey and Lenkoff, a firm here in Chicago.
Saw a story in the news. By the way, what do you make? We talked about this earlier before we go to the reason I asked you to come
How much do I make? Is that what you're asking me?
$500 billion lawsuit against Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin. I think I said earlier it was against the school, but this unhappy mother whose son did not get into some of the schools that these women's children did is suing Huffman and Loughlin for $500 billion. What's your thought on that?
Billion with a B, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see a lot of these lawsuits, obviously, in the wake of this college cheating scandal. There is one that's going to be a class action filed by people who are alleging that their degrees, like the woman who is alleging that her Stanford degree is now devalued because of this. But yeah, this woman is saying that she would have gotten in but for this cheating. I mean, obviously, if you're defending that, you're asking, how do you know? I mean, how do you know you're the one person whose spot she took?
What do you think of the number?
And importantly, right, I mean, to get to your other question, how do you quantify the damages? How do you get to $500 billion? That's a ridiculous amount, obviously.
Well, it's always, but how do you ever, right? Like, if I break my leg, I guess there are actuarial tables, but it's somewhat subjective, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it depends. In a personal injury lawsuit, a lot of which I defend, I mean, there are actual ways to quantify things like pain and suffering and damages, and you look at the amount of medical bills. To an extent, though, you're right. It is, you know, somewhat subjective. A lot of it is punitive. When you get to punitive, that is meant, obviously, to punish a party, and that is not as quantifiable. But $500 billion, I mean, that's a little nuts.
Thank you.
That's my official legal opinion. It's a little nuts.
Yeah, you didn't need to go to law school to hammer that out.
Correct.
Here's a headline on Slate, but this is I believe this is on the Tribune site and elsewhere. Connecticut Supreme Court issues stunning decision allowing Sandy Hook families to sue gun manufacturer. This really doesn't relate to what happened in Christchurch, but in this country, we've long wondered what sort of pushback do we have against the gun industry, and it seems like they operate with a lot of impunity. They get to do what they do, sell guns. It's the Second Amendment. I'm not arguing that today. I'm just saying, should there sometimes be lawsuits against the gun manufacturers themselves? If a car damages you, you get to sue Ford. If a chemical damages you, you get to sue a chemical manufacturer. If a gun somehow wrongly damages you, you have no recourse against gun manufacturers. Particularly in this case, though, there was a 4-3 decision by the Connecticut Supreme Court, and what they decided was that not that you can sue them per se, but that the grounds you can sue them will be if they advertise their weapons, their guns, in a way that is deemed not hunting. I don't have the exact language in front of me. Here it is. Families of the Sandy Hook massacre and other mass shootings cannot sue gun shops and manufacturers for negligently making or selling assault weapons. But the Sandy Hook families pursued a different theory. They argued that Remington, those are the people that made the AR-15 style weapon, their lawsuit cited multiple ads that depicted the gun not as a tool of home defense, hunting, or sport, but as a weapon of war meant to kill a large number of people in a small amount of time. Remington advertises the gun as the ultimate combat weapon system used by armed forces, theaters of war. It depicts a close-up of the gun with the slogan, "Forces of opposition, bow down, you are single-handedly outnumbered." It touted the weapon as an uncompromising choice with proven military performance. The Connecticut Supreme Court explained the thrust of Remington's ads was that the gun would enable a shooter to inflict unparalleled damage and carnage. And that is not something that we allow people to do with those guns. So they're advertising something that is, in fact, illegal.
Yeah, it's a really interesting legal theory that the Sandy Hook families pursued. I mean, of course, they've been trying to legally go after parties like the gun industry for years in the wake of the Sandy Hook shooting. And because of this congressional act that was passed in 2005, companies like Remington enjoy largely immunity from these kind of lawsuits. As you mentioned, they cannot be sued pursuant to this act for negligence. So in this case, they pursued, as you mentioned, this theory that is an exception to the act in Congress that does allow you to pursue damages if you can prove that there was advertising that is meant to, the words they use are, in an unfair, unethical, or dangerous manner. And to your point, in this case, the Supreme Court of Connecticut found by a narrow margin that the advertising was in the environment that we're living in, where we know that there are shooters using guns, that the advertisement was meant to foster this kind of, you know, behavior.
So it's okay to have a gun, and it's okay to use the gun to hunt or to do all, or defend yourself or to practice shooting for sport. But if you're using it to inflict damage, if you're using it as an offensive weapon against people, well, if you're advertising that, right? If you're advertising
Correct.
That, then you've run afoul of the law.
It's basically an advertising statute that they are allowed to now pursue. And the court didn't rule in their favor, remember, not on the merits of the case. This was only a motion. This was a appeal of a lower court's decision that barred the lawsuit from proceeding under the congressional act. So all the court in Connecticut did will say your lawsuit is allowed to proceed. It's allowed to go to the jury, and we will let the jury decide whether Remington is guilty of violating this Connecticut state statute. And if they are, what damages should result?
Well, that's the question to me. I mean, I wonder what the remedy would be then. Would it be that I'd get money in a civil suit? But would also mean they could still make that gun and manufacture that gun. Going forward, they would probably just amend their advertising, right?
A couple things to keep in mind in response to your question is Remington, and the reason that this lawsuit took a little while, the ruling took a little while, is Remington declared bankruptcy recently because of sales issues. So they're not selling as many guns. So they will probably not be as affected by, in terms of sales, by a verdict in the plaintiff's favor. But we talked earlier about punitive damages. The main thrust of a lot of this litigation is to pursue punitive damages, which, you know, can be incredible, which can be, you know, a ton. And that is meant to dissuade companies from, you know, pursuing acts that you don't think are appropriate.
Okay, I understand that, I think. I don't like those ads, but I don't know that I'm convinced that those ads caused that man to buy that gun and that their kids got killed because of those advertisements.
You know what's interesting is he didn't buy the gun. Adam Lanza, who was the shooter in the Sandy Hook shootings, remember, he took the gun from his mother, who he later killed, who legally purchased the gun in that case. So it's kind of interesting. Chase and I were talking about this earlier on the way in, that if your theory is that they violated the statute by marketing to people like Adam Lanza, the defense would be, well, he didn't buy the gun, therefore the marketing didn't work because you weren't marketing to him. They would still argue that you're generally marketing to these kind of people and he got the gun because of it. But interestingly, he did not buy the gun.
Okay, so maybe I find that kind of advertising offensive. And maybe in this case, it's not a perfect case. Maybe it's moot because he didn't make the purchase. But still, what do you think about holding gun manufacturers liable for the actions of gun owners? Is that reasonable?
Well, it's similar to, you know, the question of you raised earlier. Do you sue alcohol purveyors because people get, you know, into car accidents or have DUIs?
I don't know that I do. I might sue the bar that overserved them, but I don't sue Budweiser because they make a product that causes people to drive badly.
Yeah, I mean, the answer to your question, as a defense lawyer, as someone who defends a lot of these type of lawsuits, I don't think it's a meritorious suit. I do think, you know, I feel very bad for the families. We've had on Legal Face-Off one of the mothers involved who's leading, you know, some of these campaigns. But, you know, I don't necessarily think that gun manufacturers should be responsible in these conditions. I think, you know, it's a bit of a stretch. I think it's a novel legal theory. I just don't think it's appropriate, in my opinion.
I don't want those guns. I don't like those guns. I'm not a gun guy. I'm no friend of the gun lobby. But I just think it's asking a lot to say, because think if extrapolate that to other industries, right? Maybe you go the other way.
Of course. Yeah.
Maybe now Budweiser is in trouble when somebody DUIs, right? I don't think it's fair to say that because they manufactured that gun they should be they should be liable for damages.
Well, the real question, and the main one of the main victories in this case, is what the gun manufacturers were doing behind closed doors. Were they really advertising? Were they aware of this audience, this market of, you know, deranged shooters, and were they marketing to those people?
What do you think the answer to that is?
Well, we didn't know. Back in the day of tobacco litigation, no one thought there'd be all this, you know, smoking gun memos about targeting kids, and there was. I don't think you're going to find a smoking gun memo where Remington says, yes, let's market to deranged shooters. But the wording of their advertisements that's already, you know, out there, it's pretty provocative stuff.
Forces of opposition bow down. You are single-handedly outnumbered, says one ad. Here's another one. They call the weapon an uncompromising choice with proven military performance. The Connecticut Supreme Court mentioned that one of the ads said it would enable a shooter to inflict unparalleled carnage.
That's pretty strong stuff. And remember, you know, you'll be presenting this to a jury, likely a jury in Connecticut, that's sensitive to Sandy Hook. And if, you know, you're in that jury box and you hear those advertisements and it's geared towards a shooter to inflict maximum carnage, that's pretty provocative stuff.
Well, that would appeal to somebody.
Absolutely.
Who's unhinged, right?
It could. I mean, the question is, can they prove that there was an intent to market that way? That's
right.
A pretty high standard.
Okay, right, because somebody who really just wants to do target shooting might yet be inspired by that. They're not asking people to go kill people. They're just saying, this is just a very aggressive, macho sales pitch to people that are aggressive and macho.
Which is inherent to guns, right? I mean, those same words can be used, innocently for people who want to use the gun for completely legal methods.
Okay, now this 4-3 Connecticut ruling, the Connecticut State Supreme Court, again, doesn't say anything other than a case can go forward.
Correct.
They have grounds to sue them based on the advertising.
Correct.
Okay.
Based on the state statute.
If you've got a question or comment about that, Rich Lenkoff is here. The number is 312-981-7200. Call or text now. All right, let's finish this conversation with Legal Faceoff co-host Rich Lenkoff, who we asked to leave the Big Ten tournament over at the UC to talk a little bit about this. What some people are saying might be groundbreaking ruling by the Connecticut State Supreme Court that would allow the Sandy Hook families the opportunity to sue Remington. I can't believe that Remington is bankrupt, did you say?
Yeah, they declared bankruptcy. We were surprised, too, looking at that, because I thought they have done well. I mean, there's been...
If you can't make money selling guns in America now, then maybe you shouldn't be in business.
Yeah, although,
how did that happen?
I mean, you know, with all the news about shootings, I mean, Dick's has been on the news lately because they've stopped selling guns.
Oh, really?
In fact, Mayor Emanuel just did a Instagram post praising them and saying people should shop there. I think in some ways gun sales have been up recently, especially under Trump. But in the wake of some of these, you know, tragedies, I think that there's been a lot of issues. And certainly now with lawsuits, I think they're going to take even more of a hit.
I was under the impression that gun sales in America went up when Barack Obama was president because there was the specter that he was going to take away your guns, so people were loading up. But
yeah.
I don't know what the truth on that is. Dave wanted to jump in here. You're on WGN. Hi, Dave.
Yes, good afternoon, King John.
Hey.
2 points I was telling your producer. One, that mental illness cannot be discovered until after the fact. We've all learned that. You can't walk down the street and point out somebody and say, this guy might be nuts. We don't know, okay? And in World War II, contractors who had nothing to do with weapons manufacture were manufacturing weapons because the country needed them. One example would be International Harvester, who manufactured the M1 rifle.
What's your point about this case, though, Dave?
Pardon?
I'm sorry, I'm short of time. What's your point about this case, though?
The case is you can't really sue a manufacturer, okay?
Yeah, that's... Listen, I think you may be right about that. I don't know. Thanks for the call, Dave, but I mean, extrapolate from that. If we do allow that, then where could this kind of reasoning go?
Yeah, again, it's a slippery slope. I mean, that's why the inability to sue the manufacturer directly is why you haven't seen lawsuits like this. That's why the immunity statute exists. Again, in this case, they've successfully, you know, gone around that, and they're pursuing this advertising theory. It's, at the end of the day, a similar idea, right? I mean, you're suing a manufacturer for something that someone did that you can't predict. The whole question is, can you predict it? Can you predict that by advertising in the way that you mentioned, someone would interpret that or use that to go out and shoot people? I think that's a slippery slope. I think it's a stretch. The Connecticut Supreme Court has at least disagreed.
When do we hear your next podcast?
We're taping on Thursday of next week. We'll be covering all the legal breaking news. You know, the good news is there's no shortage of content nowadays with R. Kelly and Smollett. We've got R. Kelly's lawyer on Thursday. We'll be covering, you know, that and this story and lots of other stuff.
So that pod will drop then Thursday afternoon?
Thursday afternoon, absolutely, right on WGN.
Make sure you listen to Legal Face Off.